So today this Mass is being offered for the intentions of Archbishop Michael Jarbo Sheehan, the former bishop of our diocese. On Tuesday, the 9th, it was his birthday. May be a blessed one, and may the Lord grant us many years with this great man who did so much for our diocese and continues to do so even in the midst of the difficulties he's struggling with his own health. What do we find here today? In our readings, it's interesting that we find the word, well, the words there are translated in Peter as he's talking about the ancient ones. Really, that word is presbyteroi, meaning bishop. Sometimes they mistranslate, especially the Protestants seeking to move away from calling the persons indicated in Holy Scripture as priests, as presbyters, and bishops, to move away from those terms because they don't believe that those terms have any sort of meaning to them. What it's speaking about there is a special class within the church most of the time. And you can get more into that in depth if you want. But in the gospel, we have that beautiful teaching of who Peter is, the confession which he makes there. And if you happen to be ones who are going to be blessed to go on that beautiful pilgrimage with us in just a year, we're actually going to make a visit to Caesarea Philippi and go there to the very place why Jesus, and see why it is that our blessed Lord Jesus actually took that moment to actually spend time with his disciples there and explain to him who he was going to set as Lord of the churches, the one who is going to be in charge of his churches. Because in that beautiful place there, there's that huge rock behind them, which on which actually many, many temples are built into that rock. And so he's saying, just as you see those beautiful temples that are built into this solid rock that is there, so I am taking you, Simon, son of Jonah. You're going to be the rock on which other my temple, which is going to be my church, is going to be built upon. And there's even more in that that we'll go over, and we'll have to save that maybe for another time, because I want to speak to you today about the saint which we have today. Today we celebrate this commemoration of Pope Saint Pius I. Do you know how many Piuses there are in the church? How many popes chose the name Pius? Well, we have 10. The 10th was at the beginning of last century, but there were still more after him. Two more, in fact. Venerable Pius XII, who I read the prayer for this past Sunday as a prayer for vocations, he was the last pope to choose Pius XII. Oftentimes in history, I'm told, I've not seen it, but there was a HBO special about a young pope, I believe it was, and he chose the name Pius the 13th, because the pious popes were very strict into what was Catholic and what was not Catholic, and so they wanted to do a play off of that. The popes who are pious very much uphold the teachings of the church very well. Well, the first Pope Pius was the very same. The first Pope Pius was around in the year 1940, or rather, the year 149. So only 49 years after the death of the last apostle, St. John. And during that time, there was a great struggle within the church against many heretics that were around at the time, spreading lies about who Jesus really was. But he fought specially, not just against heretics in general, against Gnostics in general, those who believed you had to have a special knowledge to come to who God was, you had to be smart enough to have something revealed to you. He fought against Marcion. Do you know what Marcionism is? He's not a saint, by the way. There's no Saint Marcion. Marcion was a heretic, and God willing, there's mercy upon his soul, but he taught great heresy that led many souls into perdition away from God. And so, Marcion, he teaches this, and maybe you hear it too, because it still has roots in Protestant churches that are all around. Marcion believed that there were two gods that existed in Holy Scripture. There was the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament. The God of the Old Testament was vicious, was warring, had so many things wrong, he was always exacting. And the God of the New Testament was a God of mercy, God of compassion, God of love. And he said because the way that the Scriptures reveal these two entities, these two deities, they have to be separate gods in that way. And so he separated God in some sort of sense and said, we need to reject the God of the Old Testament and reject all of the Old Testament writings, mostly because he didn't like them. And then he said, we need to accept only the God of the New Testament, specifically only that as revealed, the God who was revealed in the Gospel of Luke, only Luke, and the letters of St. Paul. Everything else is rubbish, is what he said, and needs to be rejected. And so he narrowed down the canon just to those particular books, saying those are the ones which deal specifically with the mercy of the God that I want, the God that I think should be there. And so Pope St. Pius I especially had to launch attacks against him to call his teachings and call them as errors so that nobody would be deceived by that, to think that somehow they could divide the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament, as we believe as Catholics, is that we have to believe that God is one and that the God of the Old Testament is the same as the God of the New Testament, and that Jesus Christ, the teachings that we find there within the New Testament, are hidden within the Old Testament, which we do find them, and as the saints have always pointed toward. And rather, it is the New Testament that gives light to those things which are spoken of in shadowy ways in the Old Testament. And so the two play integrally toward one another. We need to make sure that that's a thing that we ourselves don't get, allow ourselves to be caught up into, especially during this time of confusion, to say that somehow because something is old, something is way back when, that it needs to be totally abrogated, it no longer applies. In fact, you may notice that every time we have a reading from the first reading, especially an Old Testament reading, I make special pains to preach upon that rather than upon the gospel, to show that there is such beauty, such depth that's held within the Old Testament, that's held within those older readings, not just in the Gospels that we find there, which are so easy to taste, so easy to hold on to. And so as we go through the rest of this day to ask our Lord, what is it that you want me to know about who you are in the Old Testament? Maybe to take an opportunity to read, begin reading from the book of Genesis, or take a reading from the book of Sirach, as we like to talk about it, one of those books that is rejected by the Protestants, or one of those, like the book of Tobit, which is very short, and you could read, instead of going through your television program today, to take the book of Tobit, only 12 chapters, and to go through that, and to see what depths there are to be found in this God who reveals himself both in the Old and the New Testament. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.